man, you just kind of look up sometimes and you say, well, is it my turn yet? And you hope it ain't, right? But that's the way that it's been going, and we just know that we're blessed. Amen? Aren't you glad you're blessed this morning? Somebody say amen. Yeah. We're glad we're blessed. Amen. The ladies came the other night and had their meeting, their monthly meeting, and they've been having them. They got together some of the baskets or the containers to take down to the care mission. And we just want to say we appreciate them doing that. And ladies, thank you for coming together and putting those things together. And we got to take them down to the care mission folks on Friday, and they were getting ready for this week's distribution of their food. And Miss Kendra, the lady that's there, does a lot of the work, and her husband, she said, man, we sure are glad to see you guys. That's going to come in very handy. So they were about to run out of those. And, you know, some of us don't even think about some of those things sometimes, about somebody celebrating a birthday. But she said, you ought to see these little kids and their eyes light up and get excited when they just, you know, get to have something we think as simple as a birthday cake. But, man, if you can be a blessing like that, thank you. And we do appreciate the work all of you do for that. Amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning. Let's look, if you would, in the Word of God. Look in the book of the Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm number 95. Psalm number 95. Now, there is a stretch of these Psalms that you run into as you come in about this point, 95. I even say there's probably some before that as you get into a chapter or Psalm number 90 starts the fourth book of a division. There's five divisions in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 90 starts that fourth book. It starts it, and there's not, you know, that's not split up into so many in each book. It's just split up, and I don't know who did that. Don't know very much about that, but there was a division made. But as you go through those divisions, you see that in each division there is a common theme. There's something there that is thematic about that group of songs. And, you know, it's kind of like that. You ever get your songbook out sometime, you look through even this Redback book, and you'll see that there are some songs that seem to be grouped together. Toward the back of the book, you'll find that in your Redback book, there's a lot of those that are Christmas songs that are joined together. And then if you go through the other sections of it, sometimes there's more songs concentrated on, you know, the blood of Jesus or the worship of Jesus or just about what we're going to do when we get to heaven. Some of those kind of things that your song book split up. So the song book is split up in the same way. There's, as I say, a theme to it. And the theme for this book seems to be a theme of worship. Now, I know a lot of it is obviously that, but this little section right here has a lot of things, especially in these beginning songs, about the worship of the Lord. And that's what I want us to look at this morning as you're looking at Psalm number 95. And it's just relatively short, 11 verses, not a whole lot there as far as quantity, but there sure is a whole lot there as far as quality. So look with me, if you will, here in Psalm number 95, and listen as the psalmist writes. He says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is all His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let's have a word of prayer today. Father, We thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for your word and what it means to us and how that it stirs our heart and how that it causes us to rejoice and be glad for the things that you're doing. Just be a blessing this morning in this time. Maybe there's somebody here today that's lost. Draw them to a place of salvation. Somebody that just needs a closer walk and a deeper life with you. Would you just draw them into that place? Put us all into a place where we know that we have come and met and worshiped the Lord this morning. We'll simply thank you. We'll give you praise and glory for it today. Meet with us, O Lord. Show up in the middle of this place and we'll give you glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name today. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. I say we've been talking about, are you connected? Are you connected? We've been doing that for several weeks. And this time we're going to look at that connection and we're going to talk about being connected through worship. I want to tell you, there's no greater connection to me that you and I as saved people ought to have than being connected through worship. Now, I'll tell you, when I begin to think about worship, folks will say, well, preacher, I can worship God whenever and wherever I want. And that's true, you can. But I'll tell you, there's something about corporate worship. And by corporate worship, I mean, that's when the body comes together and we all get to be together to worship our Lord. I mean, there's just something about it. It's different. It's special. And I believe God intends it to be so, right? I believe God is expecting us to come together as a body. And when you do, thank God, hey, I'm glad we can meet with Him and He will meet with us. Now, I want you to notice as this psalm starts, the psalmist, and most people believe it to be David. It's not titled like a lot of these others are that says that it's the Psalm of David. We don't know, but more than likely it is. He says this. He says, oh, come, let us sing together unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with praise. I believe you get the idea that it you know, there's a call here. There's a, come on, let's get together. Let's get at this thing and come and worship together. And as I say, you look through a lot of these others that are near here and you'll see a similar thought in Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Look in Psalm number 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him victory. And Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, and let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He's high above the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And then Psalm 100, we all know that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that He is the Lord. He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I mean, there is a common theme here, and it's talking about worship. Amen. It's talking about worship. And I believe, the songs ought to stir us to a place of worship. That's one of the things that we realize even through our song books, and we should realize when we're singing song, it ought to get your heart tuned up to worship the Lord. I mean, you're not supposed to be thinking, boy, look, what time, oh man, I hope we get out of here in time to have that pot roast done. I mean, I want to be first down at the lunch line. I mean, what are we going to do? The ball game come on this afternoon, or I got to go do this with the kid. Hey, get your mind out of that stuff, and let's get our hearts and our minds on worship. Amen? I mean, that's what we came for. And that's what we're here intending to do. And that's what our hearts and our thoughts and our direction should be this morning. Let's just get ready to worship Him. Amen? You remember in those other psalms, one further on than this, 122, where David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank God he's glad somebody come by, invited him to go to worship. So it ought to be something for me and you as we look at those things this morning. And I want you to look at this psalm just a little bit with me this morning. And let's talk about a couple of different things. Because when you look at this psalm, there is in the beginning of it, through the first six and verses plus part of verse 7, there's a direction that's headed toward the worship of the Lord. And in the last part of verse 7, and as you go through the end of it, it seems like there's a little bit of a bump in the road. You know, it's where it says there, verse number 7, today if you'll hear his voice, and verse number 8, it says, harden not your heart. I believe he's saying, look, boy, he came on very strong in the beginning and said, let's worship. But then he comes out at the end and he says, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get yourself messed up where you can't worship. Amen? And sometimes we get there. So let's look at it, if you will, and get a little understanding of that. First of all, let's just talk about it this way. We're going to talk about are you connected and being connected by worship. But I want to ask you this. Do you know how to have a heated heart that's ready for worship? Do you know how to have a heated heart that's ready for worship? I believe we've got to have our hearts in a certain way and in a prepared state to come and worship the Lord. Amen? I mean, I believe you ought to got ready before you got here this morning. You know, sometimes we come in and say, well, let's see what they're going to do. Let's see how the church service is going to go. Let's see if they can sing a song. Let's see if, you know, we get that kind of attitude. You ought to come in, I mean, prayed up, I mean, looking up, ready to just lift up the name of Jesus. You ought to come in that way. Every one of us ought to come in that way this morning. Amen? That's the way we ought to come in, right? So how do you have a heated heart that's ready for worship? Well, first of all, look at this in the first couple of verses. He said, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. I'll tell you the very first thing I think you and I need to do, if you won't get a heated heart before God, first of all, you need to present yourself before the Lord. I mean, you just got to come present yourself. You got to stand there before God. You remember when Elijah was out in the cave and feeling sorry for himself, hiding away and said, nobody's working but me, and blah, 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 blah. You know, all those things that he did, felt sorry for himself. Do you know what the Lord did? The Lord called him and said, get out here into the opening of this cave. I want to talk to you. And the Bible said that there Elijah presents himself before the Lord. Can I tell you, to get ready to worship God, you need to present yourself before the Lord. Amen? Paul said this in Romans chapter 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, you ought to present yourself. You ought to just say, God, I want to present me today. I'm ready to go to worship. Here I am, and I'm willing to come before you. Amen? Do you see that? That the writer says that in the very first words. He says, oh, come. I mean, that's an invitation, folks. That's an invitation. You're invited to come and worship before the Lord. You simply need to present yourself. Lord, here I am. Amen. I'm here before you, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do, and I'm not going to pretend that I do. God, but I need you. And if you'll just show up and show me, then thank God everything's going to be all right. I want to worship. Amen. I want to worship. Oh, come, let us just sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence, he says, with thanksgiving. Hey, let me tell you, you need to present yourself before him. You need to just make yourself present and available before the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I don't know what to do, as I said, but boy, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost to do something. Let's just present ourselves before the Lord. But not only that, I want you to look in verses 3, 4, and 5, and listen to what he says. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is also his. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. You know what you ought to do also? Not just present yourself before the Lord, but you need to prepare yourself to think on the Lord. You need to begin to have a thought. The psalmist here is thinking about who the Lord is and how great he is. He said, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. You better start getting in your mind when you want to be prepared for worship. You want your heart to get heated up. You need to begin to think on who God is.
Not think about who's doing what, about what the preacher's wearing, about what the choir director's saying, about what the piano player and the organ player doing. You don't need to worry about, you just need to start thinking, God, let me see who you are, and begin to think on him. The psalmist here is thinking about who God is. He says, for the Lord is a great God. And a great king. And he, you know, he notices how the greatness of God. He notices the glories of God. He noticed the power of God. He said, in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. He's beginning to think about who God is and what God is to him. Can you think about who the Lord is to you? How strong, how powerful, how mighty, how glorious, how grand that the Lord is. You thought about that? Oh, if you haven't, you ought to. You ought to be thinking about that as you get ready to worship. You ought to have all this other stuff pushed off to the side somewhere and let me just think about the glories of God. You remember over in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 6, Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up. He began to get his vision off of the king. Him and King Uzziah had been great friends, great buddies, and done a lot of things and worked together in some stuff to help Israel. But that king was dead. He said, when that thing got beyond me, when that thing was out of my vision, when that thing was beyond my thinking, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Can I tell you, that's the way you need to think this morning. Let some of that other stuff die. Let some of that other stuff get off to the side. Let some of that other stuff be for right now. And just come in and, Isaiah said that, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he begins to describe what he saw. Can you describe what you see when you come into worship? Do you see a Lord that is there just waiting to come down and bless his people and show us his glory, and you and I just fall down in his presence and say, Lord, I'm just trying to prepare myself. And now I want to just get my mind in the right direction where I'm thinking about you and nothing else. Amen? I believe that's what he's saying to us. He said, in his hand are the deep places of the earth and the strength of the hill. I mean, you think about him and where his power and his strength is. He says, the sea is his and he made it and his hands formed the dry land. Listen, you and I are in here and we're worshiping the God that made everything that is. He created everything, and you and I get to worship him. We get to rub elbows with the God of glory. We get to be in his presence, amen. You know what we are a lot of times? You remember when Martha and Mary have Jesus over to house for supper? And how that Martha is running around doing everything. And I know there are times you need to do that. There are times that those things need to be taken care of. There are times when service is a necessity. But it says Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. And Martha comes there and said, Lord, don't you care? And blah, 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 blah. He told her, he said, you're just weighted down with all that stuff. He said, Mary's chosen the good part. You and I don't choose the good part sometimes. We get our thoughts running everywhere else. We get our minds and our, even sometimes our actions running in different directions. Man, sometimes you just need to pull up a seat. You just need to come on, sit down and say, God, I'm here and I want to hear something from you. I want to hear something from the Word of God. Hey, he said there, and we talked about this a lot, haven't we, here recently. He said in the 23rd Psalm, he said that he leadeth me to the green pasture. He puts me by the side of the still waters. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God's out there trying to bring us to that place where we can worship and where we know about him and where we can find out more. And we're out here running around doing everything else. Amen. God, help us when we get like that. May the Lord help us to see that we need to have our focus and our attention on him. You need to prepare yourself for this time of worship. You need to get yourself, your heart, your thinking, everything in your mind, you need to get all that ready. And then look on there in the last couple of verses that we'll read here with this section. He said, oh, come, let us worship. And bow down, let us kneel before the God, our Maker. He said, for he is our God, and we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of
His hand. You know what you need to do there? Hey, you need to just realize that it just takes some time and practice praising Him. Practice yourself in praising God. I just want to praise you, God. I just want to thank you. Well, preacher, you don't know what's happened this week. It don't matter what's happened this week. You can still praise God. You're here, ain't you? Amen. Did you get up and eat something this morning? Praise God. And you get away to get to church? Thank God. Are you here sitting in the service this morning? Say amen. Amen. I mean, we're here, right? We went to church the other night. Pastor got up and he said, if you're here, say amen. That's pretty funny, wasn't it? If you ain't here, don't say. But, you know, there's a lot of times people are here, but they're not really here. I mean, they showed up, but they're thinking and their minds are somewhere else. Hey, he says here, look, you ought to just be thinking about him, but come, he said, and just get some praise in. He said, come and worship and bow down, kneel before the Lord. He's our God. We're the people of his pasture. We're the sheep of his hand. We're his. Thank God he's taken care of us, and you ought to just give him a little bit of thanks and praise and honor and glory for every bit of that. Amen? I mean, y'all just be in a mode and in a mind of praising God for what he's doing in your life, for what he's doing down at his church, for what he's doing through his people, for what he's doing in the lives maybe of your families or your kids or your loved ones or those that are just your friends and acquaintances here. Y'all just praise God for what he's doing. Amen. Because God's still doing some stuff. You say, well, preacher, do you know what's going on in the world? I sure do. I understand every little crazy thing that's going on out there in this crazy world. But thank God, can I tell you, God's still sitting on the throne in heaven. He still is the God of everything. Amen? He's still in control. So he says, look, here's how you can get yourself into a place of having a heated heart that's ready for the worship of the Lord. Just present yourself. Just prepare your thinking. Just practice praising him while you're here. Amen? And boy, you can get yourself in on this thing we call worship. I mean, in these few little verses, he invites us to come. Look what he said in verse number 1. Oh, come. Look in verse number 2. Let us come. Verse number 6. Oh, come. Let us worship and bow down before him. Amen? Woo. You've been invited. The Lord is inviting you. But I'm telling you, more than that, other folks are invited. We have a royal and a regal and a blessed invitation. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Amen. Let's worship him this morning. Amen? As I said, you look there in Psalm number 100, just a little bit over probably in your Bible, and it says, in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Woo, thank God for that, amen. You've got something to praise him for this morning. You've got a lot to praise him for this morning, amen. I mean, has God been good to you? Amen. He's been good to me, I'll guarantee you. I'm looking at a group of people, I think he's been good to y'all too. I mean, you could be laid up in a hospital somewhere. You could be down at the funeral home having to visit family or friends or whatever it is. Hey, you could be in a detention cell somewhere. You could be, I'm telling you, I don't care. There's a lot of bad places, but God's good and let us be here. Let's worship him this morning. Amen. Get your heart heated up for that worship. But I want you to notice the second thing, that this thing kind of shifts gears, as I said, kind of goes to a different direction. He talks about now how is it that you have or you can have a hardened heart toward the Lord. How can? But listen to what he says there in verse number 7. Today, if you'll hear his voice, look what he says in verse 8. Harden not your heart. As in the provocation, as the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. He said, I don't want you to have a hardened heart. But can I tell you, sometimes there are people that absolutely harden their hearts in the place of having a hot heart for worship, a heated up soul that's ready to just worship God. Hey, sometimes it gets hard, doesn't it? Their hearts get hardened and they say no and they rebel and they turn and they're going away. Brother, God doesn't want such to happen. Amen. You know where the first of it begins right there? He said, today, if you'll hear his voice. Oh, do you know what we need to do? We need to listen, don't we? Need to listen for him. I'm telling you, when you get a hardened heart, you get in some real problems. What happens when you get a hardened heart? Well, let me just tell you. First of all, you have a response that is not of faith. Your response is not a response of faith. That's how you get a hardened heart. Do you know what happened in the Bible with Pharaoh? Pharaoh would say, okay, I'm going to let people go. I believe what Moses has said. And then what did he do? He hardened his heart. He said, no. Can I tell you, you get your mind made up in your life that you're not going to listen to God. You're not going to follow God. You're not going to do what God said. You're not going to read your Bible. You're not going to pray. You're not going to tell nobody about God. Brother, just harden on up and you will have no faith. You're not believing in God. Because if you believed in God, you would do some things that God says to do. Amen? And worship directs us to that. Worship puts us there. When you begin to worship, you're showing some faith in God. When you say, Lord, I love you, and I think you're there, and I know you're blessing me, and I know you take it. When you begin to get into that mode, you're exercising some faith. You know what your Bible tells you over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11? For without faith, it's impossible to please him. But do you see what it says here? It says these people harden their hearts. Today, if you'll hear his voice, if you're going to hear him. But if not, you're hardening your heart. I mean, and when there's a hardness of heart, you cannot, you will not give a response that is of faith. Somebody said one of the most simple statements that has a lot of incongruency in it is no, Lord. If you're saying no, and you're still calling him Lord, something's wrong. If God's calling you and wanting you to do something, and you say no, Lord, you're in trouble. Amen? I mean, why in the world would you say no? You know what Eli told Samuel? He said, the next time you hear that voice, when Samuel's laying in his bed, he heard a voice calling him. He just said, you just lay there and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Thank God, can I tell you today, you can exercise faith. You will exercise faith if you'll not harden your heart. Hear him, and when he speaks, say, yes, Lord, not no. Amen? That's what God's looking for this morning. You want to harden your heart? You want to get rock hard, solid against God? Boy, that's a shame and a pity, I'll tell you that. Amen? But he says, don't be like these were. 40 years, he said, they wandered in the wilderness, and they had no response of faith. What did they do when they were in the wilderness? They murmured. They complained. They griped. They griped about God. They griped about the weather. They griped about the trip. They griped about the food. They griped about everything. Amen? Somebody said, hey, that sounds like a Baptist. Amen right there, doesn't it? I think I told y'all the story. This is one of those Brother James Langston stories. About an old guy. He was just a grumpy old guy. Anybody in here can identify with that? Some of you ladies keep your hands down, okay? Grumpy old guy. I mean, his wife could not do anything. She couldn't do anything to please him. Everything she'd done, it was wrong. Whatever she'd done, it was wrong. And one day she said, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get this straight out. She went in, she said, honey, got up in the morning, she said, honey, I'm going to make you breakfast. And I want you to tell me exactly what you want for breakfast. He said, okay. He said, I want gravy. I want biscuits. I want 2 eggs, one of them fried, one of them scrambled. And I want it on the table here in less than 30 minutes. So she goes off to the kitchen. She gets everything. She fixes it, and she comes in, and she tells him, come on, darling, come have a seat at the table. I got everything. He sits down. She sits the plate in front of him, and he sits there, and he looks at it. And she said, now what's wrong? She said, there's the gravy. There's the biscuits. There's the 2 eggs you asked for, one fried and one scrambled. I mean, she said, what's wrong now? He said, you scrambled the wrong egg. Amen? Huh? Y'all know some people like that? Shake your head a little bit. I think I know some. But I'm talking about folks that can get a hardened heart. Folks that you can't please. Folks that it don't seem like nothing ever phases them, ever happens. Brother, I'm telling you, hey, you need to get out of that. God said, don't harden your heart like they did when they wandered in the wilderness. He said, they were out there for 40 years. Amen. Brother Ronnie's talking about this morning, our Sunday school class, a simple trip that should have taken just a matter of weeks, and they turned it into a 40-year journey. Why? Because God got tired of their unbelief. And they harden their hearts. A hardened heart has, there's no response of faith. A hardened heart has no retention of knowledge. Look what it says, that your fathers tempted me and proved me, and they saw my work. Listen, they couldn't remember what God had done for them. Do you remember what God's done for you? Do you remember how he saved you from hell? Do you remember how he's blessed your life up and down? How that he's met your need? How he's poured out the honey bucket of holy heaven on top of you many times? Hey, do you remember that? Amen. Oh, listen. They saw him. They knew what he'd done. They was there when he let Moses hit the rock and water came out. They were there when they went out and gathered manna every morning. They were there when God gave them quail. And they were there when God gave them a shade by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, God was there with them, and they forgot it. They forgot it. He said, you've been there. Let me tell you, there's no retention of the knowledge of what God's done sometimes with us. You know, we'll sit there and say, well, God's done this for you before. Yeah, but that was back then. This is today. God help you for forgetting what God's done. If he never done another thing for you, thank God we ought to shout from here to glory. I mean, if we don't ever see him, if he never blesses us again, thank God we ought to just give him praise. Amen. He saved you. He's done so much for you. He has brought you from where you used to be to where you are. Woo, hallelujah for that. Amen? I mean, you remember the sin you was in? The hole you had dug? The place you were buried beneath? And then God reached down. And he picked you up. Hey, David said, I was in a horrible pit. It was in a terrible place. And he heard my cry. He reached down. He picked me up and he put me on a solid rock and established my going. Put a song in my mouth. Even praise unto God. Amen? But when you get into a hardened heart situation, when your heart goes south, hey, there's no retention of that kind of knowledge. He said, your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work for 40 years. Amen? Oh, listen, get over yourself and just realize how good God has been to you. Amen? So there's no retention of knowledge. There's no response of faith. And there'll be no receiving of rest. But you better look out for wrath. Amen? Listen to what he says. 40 years I was grieved with this generation. And said, it's a people that do err in their hearts. And they've not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. He said, look, ain't no rest going to come for them. Do you know what God did? He killed them off out there in the desert. An entire generation of people. Everybody that was under a certain age made it. Everybody under 40 years old. And everybody over 40 died in the wilderness. And they saw what God... But God said, you ain't going into my rest. All that abides for you is my wrath. And God cleaned them out there in the desert, didn't he? God did what he said he would do. I mean... Look, this is a passage that is referenced over in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3, verses 7 through 19. And the writer there in Hebrews said, don't have that evil heart of unbelief like they did. He said, because we see they could not enter into God's rest because of their unbelief. There was no rest for them. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. You can do what you want to, and you can act how you want to, and you can behave how you want to, but I can tell you, God's saying, you can do that, but you won't have any rest. Amen? You won't have any rest. Hey, I'm telling you, folks need to realize the seriousness of what God is doing in people's lives. You ever prayed for somebody and said, God, don't let them rest till they get right? Amen. You know, you can do that. I remember being around old Brother George Ashburn a lot of times. He'd be praying about somebody in his church that, you know, is all messed up or whatever. And he'd say, God, make their sheets short. Make their bed like a rock. Don't give them any rest until they make their mind up to come and get right with you. Amen. I can tell you, that's pretty good praying right there. Because that's what God wants people to get over, that hardness in your heart. Let God soften it. So let's look at this real quick. That runs us through that whole psalm. But I want to ask you, how's your heart right now? How's your heart right now? You ever heard of J.D. Power? J.D. Power does surveys on customer satisfaction. If you've ever bought a new car, sometimes you'll get a phone call and they'll say, hey, you're going to get a survey. Fill it out and be nice and sweet to us if we've done, you know, whatever. And I've had them by mail and I've had them by the phone, and you've probably had some of them. And it's what they call a satisfaction report. They want you to tell them your experience, tell them what you like and what you didn't, you know, whatever. That's J.D. Power. Can I tell you, the Lord's got a satisfaction index too. Amen? I mean, he wants to know about your satisfaction. Let me just tell you, how's your satisfaction index going today? Are you satisfied with what God's done for you? Amen. I believe every one of us in here ought to say, preacher, I'm more than satisfied with what God's done for me. Unless you're not saved. Hey, he needs to save you. Amen. But if you're saved, you ought to be satisfied. Amen. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be glad. You ought to be excited about what God's done for you. But let me ask you this. How about God's satisfaction index with you? How satisfied is God with you? Have we hit that place where we satisfy? And I know we never will completely. But, I mean, are you doing some things that satisfy him? Or are you doing stuff that dissatisfies him? How's your satisfaction index going with yourself? Are you satisfied with you? Can I tell you, when you're not where you ought to be with God, you'll be a miserable person. Your satisfaction index goes way on down there when you get to that place. Hey, God will let you know that, hey, you can't even be happy with yourself. You won't be happy with anything that's going on. Because, let me tell you, you've always heard this, that a backslid Christian is the most miserable person in the world. They can't be happy in the world, and they can't be happy in the church because they ain't doing what they ought to, and this out here ain't right, and it's a battle, and you're the most unhappy person on the face of the earth. You just need to come and get it right with God. Amen? That's what you need to do. How's your satisfaction index? How are you doing this morning? Are you satisfied? Let me ask you this. You ought to do a heart search on your satisfaction index right now. How's your song? You hear what he says? Verse 1, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. You got a song for God, or is your song dead, beat down, and destroyed? You ain't got a song in your heart. You need one. You need a song. You need God to let you sing. Listen, I want to tell y'all something. My daddy, one time I was out on Sun Mountain, and I was running a revival somewhere, and daddy, mama had come to the revival meeting. I was sitting there, and somebody in the church, and it was a church I didn't know, and they didn't know me very well. They came to me, and they said, what about you and your daddy singing a song tonight? And I said, oh, y'all don't want that. And they said, oh, yeah, we think. I said, no, you don't want that, trust me. Because, I mean, he couldn't sing. He couldn't. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. Go ahead and say amen. You're right. He can't. I mean, he couldn't hope, but you know what? He loved to better than anybody in this room. I'd be out there sometimes and over at their house. He'd be out under his carport and he'd working on something, and he'd just be singing away, and you just have to kind of catch a key every once in a while. You know, you'd listen to, you know, he hit that one right down wrong, but I mean, seriously, but I want to tell you something. He loved it better than anybody. Amen. He'd get up here in this choir, he'd sing. He'd open his mouth, he'd let her rip, and it might have been off over there somewhere, but he's still singing. You know what? He wasn't singing to me. He wasn't singing to you. He's singing to the Lord. Amen? How's your song today? Are you singing to him? Are you singing for his glory? Has he put something on the inside of your heart that's a song for him? Amen? Hey, how's your song? How is your separation? You separated from the stuff of this world, and you separated unto him today. How are you doing in that area? Oh, as I said, man, get sanctified, get put apart, get set aside for the things of God. How are those things going in your life this morning? How's your serving? And who are you serving? Are you serving the Lord or are you serving yourself? Let me ask you this, how's your surrender going today? You get up here with me sometimes. Somebody said the biggest lies that Baptist folks tell are out of them songbooks. You ever sing this one? I surrender all. I surrender all. You know what? We're telling a fib. Amen? There was a guy who used to go to our church a long time ago, first church I pastored. I'd sing by him in the choir. And one night we're singing Living by Faith. We say, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. And we were singing right along, and all of a sudden, he just quit. When we got through singing, I went over to him, and I said, Brother Earl, I said, what happened? Something wrong with you? He said, nope. I said, well, you quit singing. What's wrong? Something wrong with your throat? Nope. I said, well, what's wrong? He said, I just didn't feel like lying. Amen. I mean, isn't that us? I'm living by faith, and I'm checking my checkbook every chance I get. Amen. I'm checking the cabinets to see if they're full. I'm checking to make sure I still... We're not living by faith. We're still living by sight if we're not careful. We're still living by what we can feel and see and touch. Brother, we got to get beyond those things if we're really going to serve and trust God this morning. Did you come to worship? Or did you come because, well, got to check that offer this week. I've been to church. Check, 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 check. Oh, God, help us today. We need to realize we just need to fall in His presence and worship Him. Amen? We need to worship Him. The psalmist here says, oh, come, let us sing. He says, let us come before His presence. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. What about you this morning? How's your worship? Are you connected to Him by worship? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a song this morning. Are you connected by worship? I mean, one of the greatest places you can be connected is in the experience of worship. When you know that you've come to church and you got to worship the King of